Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity, three in one God, come and bring the joy that you have always shared, the utter pleasure and delight that you have always shared between yourselves. Father, Son, and Spirit, come and bring that joy into this place right now. Perhaps a better way of saying that, Lord, is that you would now dial us into the awareness of this joy that is already ours because we have you. And I want to ask you, Lord, that for this season that is supposed to be so up and so happy and joyous, that for many of us it's a down season. It's a season of loneliness. It's a season where memories come back and things we grieve and mourn, they come back on us. And I pray in particular that you would meet those people this morning. Come into this place and fill it with not Christmas joy, but the joy that has always been. And the joy that we have been vacuumed up in Jesus. Now I pray that you would open our eyes, awaken us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Caleb and Jacob and Micah were shepherds. They're entrusted with the sheep that are owned by the different people in the different villages. And it's a pretty good job. It's boring and a little tedious at times, but basically they have the care of all of these animals that belong to that are precious animals to the people of the village. Now, every once in a while, a sheep wanders off. They have to go after it. Every once in a while, a predator comes in the area, and the sheep are easily spooked. So they would have to drive off the predators in order to protect the sheep and then calm the sheep back down. It was night. Jacob and Caleb were just dozing off. Micah had to watch for the night. All of a sudden, there's a bright light that filled the entire sky. And it started everyone, all the guys that were asleep, they were awake and really awake. The light was so bright, and it was seemed to fill the entire sky. And out of that light comes a being of some sort. I guess an angel. They don't really know what it is, but this angel comes out of the sky. And the angel says to them first thing out, "Don't be afraid." And the guys are like, "What? This is the most terrifying thing we've ever seen. How can we not be afraid?" He said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to everyone everywhere. For on this day, in David's hometown, a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born to you. Here's how you'll know. You'll go into that town and you'll search around and you'll find a baby wrapped tightly in cloths and lying in a feeding trough." A feeding trough? Seriously? And then, as if in an instant, all of the white lights became people floating in the air, angels. And they were singing loudly as if it was a trumpet sound, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on all who God's favor rests." And they sang that for a while. It didn't just go and then stop. They sang and they sang. And the shepherds finally began to calm down a little bit, and their eyes got back in their sockets. And they relaxed just a little bit, and then all of a sudden, it was gone. They looked at each other. "What was that? Let's go and see what the angels have told us about." And so it wasn't a particularly easy trek. They had to take the entire flock because that was their charge. And so they took the entire flock with them and went through the streets of the town, David's hometown, Bethlehem. It's in the middle of the night, and they're coming in, and they finally find this place because they're thinking, feeding trough. Okay, where's there going to be a feeding trough? It's probably going to be in a stable. Where's the stable? It's probably in a cave. And so they're deducing these things, and finally, there he is. There he is. And they look down and they see this baby lying in a feeding trough, and there's animals all over the place, and it smells poopy. And it isn't pretty at all. This is the place where the Savior's going to be born? And they look at mom and dad. They're exhausted. Like, what kind of experience have you guys been through? And I'm sure that they find out after a little bit. Oh, yeah, we had actually a hard time finding any place to stay. But they tell Mary and Joseph the story, and Mary and Joseph's eyes are wide open. They know that this baby is special, but now, with this angel announcement, and not just an angelic announcement, but the angel announces that joy has arrived. Joy has arrived. He says, the angels say basically to the shepherds, great joy for all people. 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 Joy has come. Christmas is about the joy of the Lord coming to earth. Now here's where we're going this morning with this message. Because I don't get a chance to develop this very much next week, I want to develop this a little bit with you now. That joy is something that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have shared forever. They always have shared this joy, and in Jesus, that joy has come to earth. Not only has it come to earth, that joy has come to us. Not only to us, but that joy has come to us to stay. Joy has come to us. Now, I think that we probably underestimate this in a severe way, that joy is a very big deal to God. Joy is one of the qualities that the Trinity has always shared, and they've shared this utter delight and pleasure and gladness and joy in relationship one to another. This has always been. This is how God has always been. And that relationship is between them, and they want us to experience that joy that they share all the time. Now, there is grief, obviously, because sin has entered the world, and God is grieved because of that. But that doesn't mean that His joy ever goes down. God is joyful in His being all the time in that relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. Does that make sense? And we have some glimpses of this in the Gospels. Jesus in John chapter 15, and I'm going to use a bunch of scripture here, so I'm not going to have you turn to any one place. It'll be up here, and it's in your bulletin on that. It's not because I don't want you to open your Bibles. It's just I'm using way too much. It's gratuitous, I admit, okay? But here's what Jesus says. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full and complete. So Jesus has this joy inside of Him. It's in Him all the time. He's not some somber, sort of stale and stodgy Messiah figure, you know, that's kind of just doing these weird, you know, you see these Jesus movies, and it's like, if a little kid wouldn't be drawn to Jesus, that's probably not the right personification of Him. Because everybody was drawn to Him. He was magnetic. The only people that weren't were the religious people. Now, Jesus is someone who has this effervescent joy that radiates off of Him all the time. In John 16, He says, ask and you will receive and your joy will be full. So part of the joy that God wants us to have is through this dialogue with Him and answered prayer, that He intends for that to be a purveyor of joy as well. And then in John 17, Jesus prays for us, all of us, and He prays like this. I pray these things, Father, that they may have the full measure of my joy in them. So, for one, what we can see is that Jesus has a lot of joy, not just a little bit, and that He wants you and me to experience the full measure of that, as much as we possibly can take. And I think that we are aiming way too low. I like the way that C.S. Lewis put it, where he said that we are far too easily satisfied, that rather than, that we have no imagination for a holiday at sea, we're far too content with making mud pies and playing around in the mud. That we need some more imagination for us, that this joy has always existed in Jesus within the circle of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, that Jesus draws us into the Trinity circle. Think for a moment, think. He draws us into that circle so that we would be filled, as Peter says, with inexpressible and glorious joy. That we would be filled with that. So here's the Trinitarian circle. You've heard me talk about this a lot. But in that relationship that they have one to another, there is a contagious joy. And the idea here isn't so much that joy just fills you. It's that joy came to us and envelops us and draws us into that relationship. I don't know if you've ever been around people that are so joyous that they just make you laugh and make you smile. It doesn't matter how down that you are. My uncle, Uncle Bob, I'm named after him. He kind of talks. Everything that he says is kind of a laugh. He's sort of like, you know, Jill, that's just really a pretty sweater that you have on today. And everything he says like that, I got a really big bill from my insurance company today. And he just, it's like, you're around him and he just kind of rubs off on you. He's always laughing. He laugh talks is what we call it. I think it's one of the things that you notice when you get around Tony Chernus very much. At first, he seems like this really kind of quiet Clark Kent sort of a guy. But then when you get around him, he's just always poking fun and having so much fun and laughing. And he just, you know, just kind of steps back and laughs. And he's always inserting something fun and something funny. That's that kind of joy draws you in. But where does that come from? That's not a personality profile. That's not just the way that Tony was wired from birth. Pretty sure not. It's Jesus. And it is this relationship of joy that Tony has with Jesus that invites you in, and when you're surrounded by it, you just smile. I mean, Tony's even a little irritating from time. It's like, I don't want to be smiling right now. But that's only because I choose not to. Father, Son, and Spirit, they share this joy together. That the Father would say to you and I, this is all about my Son. I just love my Son so much. You see that at Jesus' baptism. This is the Son I love. I am pleased with Him. He is my pleasure. And we see that, and we just kind of see this sort of stale and stodgy God, but that's not what's happening there. There's relationship there, and that's rich relationship. So that's the first thing for you and I, that the joy is in God. It's in the Father, Son, and the Spirit. It always has been and it always will be. And you and I have been invited to share in that joy. And the beautiful thing is that joy is always there. It's not something that comes and goes. The joy of the Lord is always there. He's always joyful in the relationship that He has with Himself. Secondly, the joy came to earth in Jesus. That's what the angels are saying. That's what they announce. It's got joy all over it. Don't be afraid. And I love the way that it always gets to this. Whenever an angelic being shows themselves to somebody, they're always terrified. And I think that we've sort of dressed this whole thing up to be not so scary, but pretty much everybody has to be assured that they're okay, that they're not going to be killed or something. Don't be afraid, he says. I bring you just a tiny little bit of joy. Is that what he says? No, he says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to everyone everywhere. This is great joy for everyone. Would you say that with me? Great joy for everyone. Now say it in a joyous way. Great joy for everyone. That's what's we're being introduced to. It's in the prophecy, even in Isaiah, concerning the arrival of Jesus in Isaiah 9. It says, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased their joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For unto us a child is born. That's the prophecy. Unto us a son is given. We thought that joy would be in an event, or maybe even deliverance that the Messiah would bring. And certainly that's true, but that is only a change in the circumstances. That's not a change in who you are. That's not a change in your relationship. The reality is that when Jesus came, he brought joy in person. Joy came to us in person. It didn't just come with Jesus. It is Jesus. He would say something to us like this: I'm not just bringing joy. I'm bringing with me the relationship that is joy. The relationship that is joy. So here's a glimpse of it. We see this in the Gospels that Jesus, it's not hidden from us. I think we miss it, but it's not hidden. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 21. And I'm not making this up. The words here, the words that are being introduced, set a mood, a tone. It says, at this time, Jesus, full of joy. Now, this is what this word, particular word of joy means. Big smile, exuberant laughter, and bouncing, if not dancing a little bit, through the Holy Spirit. And so here's the general gist of that. It says, at this time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, Father, I praise you, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. For such it was your pleasure to do. That's what Jesus is saying there. That's what he's modeling there. That word there for full of joy is literally to leap and to dance. I don't know if that's in your Jesus vocabulary, but the God that came to save you is a dancing one and a joyous one, not a somber character. And John the Baptist even gets caught up in this contagious joy with Jesus. See, here's what John says. The bride, as he's making the sort of handoff of his people to Jesus, he says, the bride, all these people, belongs to the bridegroom, that is Jesus. The friend who attends the bridegroom, he waits and listens for him and is full of joy, similar type of an idea of what we just read in Luke 10, when he hears the bridegroom's voice, this joy is mine and is now complete. This joy is mine and is now complete. That Jesus came bringing his joy, the joy that the Trinity shares with him, and he's inviting you and I in. He is wrapping us in the arms of that relationship. In fact, this joy is a relationship. It is the relationship. And so at the very top end of the prayer of Jesus, not the one that he's giving to us, but the one that he's praying for us in John 17, if you will, the prayer at the very center, or the conversation at the center of the universe, that prayer begins like this: this is real life. Real and eternal life, that they may know, this is Jesus talking to the Father, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So Jesus, right out of the gate, is saying that the life and the joy is not in the relationship, the life and the joy is the relationship. I don't know if you've encountered that, but I have a chance to, with my family, one of the things that we have cultivated is these kind of relationships that are absolutely hysterical. And they're also, at the same time, they can be, we can mourn together and grieve and feel deeply, but we have this connection together that is so warm and deep and intimate. It doesn't mean that it's conflict-free, because it isn't, but it's real. And it's the relationship itself that makes me a rich man. It's not what comes from the relationship. It's the relationship itself. That joy came, but joy isn't in the relationship. Joy is the relationship. When I was a young believer in the early 1970s, there was a woman who went around talking to churches. Her name was Ann Kimmel. After she finally got married, Ann Kimmel Anderson. And she was this super simple lady, very innocent and very pure. And she would stand up in front of people all over. And the Lord just brought her before dignitaries and congregations and people, thousands of people and people at coffee shops and everything. But she would say, hello, my name's Ann. And Jesus is real to me. and she would radiate this simple, innocent love for Jesus. And it was contagious. We would listen to tapes of her. We would go and see, and you just, you hear her talk and you think, the relationship that she has with Jesus is so real and so joyous and so intimate and so present that all of us came out of every time that we ever heard her with a thirst and a hunger for that very thing. Because we knew that it was available to us. Finally, she got married because she said that she always wanted to. And then she wrote a book. And the book title says it all. With the gift came laughter. With the gift came laughter. If that doesn't sum up at least some of the mission that we are celebrating at Christmas, I don't know what else does any better than that. With the gift that God gave us came laughter. That it makes us joyous, and it's visceral. It's something that we feel. It's something that lifts us up. We're now in a relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit in a way that just transforms us. It just lifts us out of our sorrows and out of our sadness. If we will let it. And so that's the second thing, that Jesus brought the joy of heaven to us, and the joy is that relationship. The third thing is that joy now lives in us because Jesus is that joy. Or perhaps a little bit better way of saying that is, if you have, or joy can live in us because Jesus is joy. But it simply is, if you're on the outside of this, you simply have to open your heart up and let him in. But he brings the joy with him because it's always with him. So let's come back to this John 17 prayer, the conversation at the center of the universe. Jesus prays his true desire, the heart of heaven's desire. He says this, I am coming to you, Father. But I say these things while I am still in the world. What's he saying? He's saying that the Spirit is coming and is going to not just be on the outside. He's going to live inside of every believer as an inside job. That they're going to know you and me, Father. That they're going to share our glory with us. We're going to share it with them. And that they're going to share the oneness, the same kind of oneness that we share, they're going to share with us and with each other. So he said, I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Full of joy. The full measure. I mean, think. What might it look like for the full measure of Jesus' joy to be in you? The full thing. And I think it is a matter more of awakening than it is for striving. That life, a life of fullness and a life of joy are a package deal, and he wants us full of joy. I mean, that's what I read in this. Jesus wants us to be full of joy. If he's praying this back to the Father, this is the most pure communication we've ever seen or heard. And if he's praying this back to his Father, that means that this is actually something that he is offering. And even more so than that, as I thought about this, I think that it even infects every kind of dimension of our lives, even our work, what we go and we do for a living, just for a paycheck. At the end of that parable that Jesus is telling, the parable of really about stewardship in Matthew 25, the king or the master says to his servants, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Listen to this, enter into the joy of your master. So even your work in relationship with God, even the thing that you do for a living and for a paycheck, can have this dimension of joy because it's the master's joy that you get to enter into. Enter into joy. That's the Christmas invitation. Now, I have gratuitously gone through a lot of scripture here so far, and I had to eliminate so much scripture to just get this down to where it was even in a package that I could deliver in 2 hours. Don't worry. I'm not going to be here for that long. Now, as I was pondering this and praying about this with the Lord, I began to think, because I have a daughter, her name is Charis. Some of you know her. Charis is the Greek word for grace. Now, what's interesting is that the word for joy in the New Testament is charis, and the word for grace is charis, and they both have the same root, which is kairos. And that root basically means joyfully, or to rejoice, or to be glad. The verb form of that is joying. And so grace and joy are very, very closely related, but I think that we have put them in two sort of different categories. Grace is this sort of ambivalent gift that God has given us, and joy is this sort of emotive and visceral type of an attitude and an experience. But that's not what the New Testament is really talking about at all. And so what I thought I would do is to go into all the places, because they share the same family, these two words, and put in the place of grace, just to insert joy or joyous grace in the place of that. And what I found, I was astounded. The word grace appears in the New Testament 124 times. The word joy or rejoicing, 160. And so this is a significant amount of content in your Bible, our grace and joy, and they're of the same family. So let me just give some of these to you. John 1 at the very beginning. For from his, that is Jesus' fullness, we have received joy upon joy. For the law came through Moses, joyous grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of joyous grace and truth. In Luke chapter 2, it talks about Jesus, and the child Jesus grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the joy of God was upon Him. Grace and joy are very, very similar, but I think that what we've done is we've taken grace and made it somehow impersonal. That's a giant mistake. And not only is it not impersonal, but it has this investment of the pleasure of God with it all the time, full time. You've never received grace from God that wasn't full of joy and happiness and perhaps hilarity on His part. Again, I'm not making this up. I'm just saying what is in your Bibles and mine. That grace, rather than just God's unmerited favor for those who don't deserve anything, that's the kind of the way that this goes, that grace, rather, is the joyous, personal, empowering investment of God in anyone that will receive it. Let me say that again. That grace is the joyous, personal, empowering investment of God in you. And so one more. In Romans chapter 14, Paul is rounding out the what he's trying to say to the Roman Christians, and he says this summary kind of statement, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we kind of read that, and it just kind of blows by us. But I love the way that Eugene Peterson in The Message has translated this. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as He sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. So my paraphrase of the paraphrase is, the kingdom of God is setting things right, is bringing heaven's shalom. It's this peace that God puts, that everything is in harmony, and it comes with Holy Spirit joy. How beautiful is that? That's just, to me, astounding. The gift came with laughter. The gift came with laughter. The gift came with laughter and forgiveness. The gift came with laughter and healing. The gift came with laughter and comfort. The gift came with laughter and heaven with it. And so, this Christmas, we want to celebrate the arrival of the Messiah who has a name. And it is, from God's point of view, a very personal investment in you. And he comes to us and says, I've crossed the heavens to come to you and to start something new that will continue to grow and build and grow and build and grow and build and grow and build. And it doesn't stop until you see him face to face. But the joy came, and the joy stayed. And you're now invited in to that joy. It's not something you have to produce, like, okay, I'll just, you know, pump myself up some. I'll sing the songs really loud this time. You don't have to pump yourself up on it. This is the relationship that God has with himself full time. You simply get invited to the party. I want to say to you that I believe that this is a different way of relating to your God than most of us are familiar with. I think when somebody comes and talks about joy, typically we think, I just got to be more joyous. So, okay, whoopee, you know, yeah, hallelujah. You know, when you try to be more demonstrative, you try to kind of, and what Americans do at least is we try to whip ourselves up into it. Well, woo, 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 you know, now we got joy. No, you've just tried to manipulate your own emotions. What I believe is God is saying to us is that you need to realize that I'm right here and you are in the party. The only reason why you wouldn't have joy is because you invite yourself out of the party. Let's all stand up. I want to simply ask you to open up your heart to him. This one who came and brought the joy also died for your and my sins, took him into his body, took them. And he's calling us to come to him. But he has come to us. And so it's not, you don't have to go far to get to him.